Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. Today we're going to talk about your color personality. Which color are you? Gold, red, blue, green? I bet you don't know. And you might find out, or at least have a good idea about it, as we talk with our guest, Shoya Nitchy. Thank you, Shoya, for being with us.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
And I'm so glad that you could introduce this. And you're the developer of this program. And it's mostly, it's used in business to help people understand how they function in business, or help their bosses understand what to expect of the people who they work with.
Yes, it is also used for leadership development and team building and customer service, sales approach, career development.
Well, that's all. that's wonderful. And so we want to climb into this in a way that people can, I guess, learn about themselves. And I certainly learned a lot about myself and what color I am, or colors. We might, be one primary color and then even have a strong secondary color, right?
That's correct, yes. And now, then there's a third layer, whether you have more of an extrovert or an introvert dimension.
Okay. Now, your background is one with Myers-Briggs, and a lot of people understand Myers-Briggs because it's been used in business for decades.
That's correct, yes.
And Myers-Briggs has a number of different categories that they describe people. And why is your system why would we want your system versus Myers-Briggs?
Well, there are circumstances when time is of the essence, and the Myers family recognize this, which is why they've also approved this model. Mine is, you can get to it in about an hour. It gives you four primary categories that people get right away, and then they remember them. So very often it's used when there is not very much time within an institution, or it's used as an introduction to the Myers-Briggs often also.
Well, it encompasses what Myers-Briggs teaches us.
Yes, it has the same underlying dimensions. It's also based on the work of Carl Jung.
Well, what I like about it, as you said, it's memorable.
Right.
You know, you get what your color is. In Myers-Briggs, you get letters, and there are four letters. For instance, I am in Myers-Briggs an ENTP. Well, you know, that doesn't go very far down the road unless I become a real student of Myers-Briggs. I don't really hold on to that as well as holding on to whether I'm a blue or a green.
Right, right. And that's been the point of it, that it gets to the information in a more rapidly.
Well, not only that, but it's easier for each other to identify with people, and because you have to chew all these letters. So as a business leader, for instance, and you want to know about the people you're working with, you have to kind of remember a lot of different letters for a lot of different people.
That's correct.
And this way you get to know whether they're, you know, perhaps a gold with an underlying red, or
right,
et cetera.
And I'm a red, and therefore I'm driving that gold totally crazy.
Right, right. And now, why would a red drive a gold crazy?
Okay. Well, to understand the reds are sort of the doers, action-oriented people. They're very much into the now. The golds are the planners, the long-term planners, and the organizers. So the reds come in, make a quick decision, and then disappear. The golds are out there waiting for that long-term plan. Golds tend to be very time-oriented, very much into their deadlines. And the reds tend to be a little pressure-prompted, as they call it. They come in at the last minute. They always come in, but they come in at the last minute.
And they're in the moment.
And they're in the moment, exactly. And they change and they turn directions, and whereas golds are fairly linear in their approach. They also have very different ways of organizing their desks. The golds are very neat, and the reds have piles all over the place. It shows a different way of thinking. Neither is right or wrong. They're both very good, and they have very powerful people in each style.
Now, if let's say you're a primary gold, could you be a secondary red? Because how can you have a very neat desk and a messy desk
no,
at the same time?
No, you can't. You can only be a secondary of the second layer, which is you're either a blue or green. And the blues are the more objective, and the greens are the more empathetic and communicative people in this world. So if you're a primary gold, you'd be a secondary of either a blue or a green. So there are certain things that you cannot be a secondary of. There's a certain process that has to be followed in determining your style.
Well, what I love about this is that it's easy to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps people in business to be able to discuss it and to work with it. As you say, you know, in your style, you want to know what the other person's style is.
Right.
And then you can roll your eyes about it and say, oh.
Yes, and it's done in a very humorous way. So everybody walks out feeling very positive about themselves, and yet they still understand why they irritate other people.
Well, there's a place for everyone.
There's a place, and every team needs all types to make the best decisions, and that's been shown by research over the years.
But don't golds want everybody else to be a gold?
Well, they do until they realize that there are certain things that they just don't do well. For example, a gold doesn't really like to do strategic thinking. They like to deal with what they've experienced in the past and what they know has worked. They like to stick with the tried and true. So they get very exasperated by this category that is always finding new ways of doing things and always wants to do strategic thinking, you know. So but they do recognize that they need that element on their team, and particularly if they're running a company.
You know, I think of golds also as being very tribal.
Yes, they are. Grounded, accountable, and responsible is the way you describe them. And two examples of golds would be Queen Elizabeth and Colin Powell.
Well, I don't know them personally, but I would imagine that their history would show that certainly they.
Yes,
they
if you look at the Queen, how many years has she been Queen? And she looks has no intention of moving on.
Right, I don't think of her as a leader. I think of more as a figurehead, but certainly Colin Powell, the military probably wants more golds, but then again, they can't think strategically, can they?
Well, they're not comfortable with it. They like to stick with what they know has worked in the past. And yes, the military is heavily, heavily gold. Yes. Of course, the golds are the largest percentage of the population around the world anyway. They're 46% of the population. And nature is very smart. It tells you what it needs to keep the world running.
Well, that's true. And not only are the golds 46%, but what percentage of them are actually the business leaders?
Well, there's a combination that you find a lot of business senior management in, and that is a combination of either gold and blue or blue and gold. And those are the people that really like to manage resources and move large organizations forward.
And so reds and greens are not, they don't belong in leadership?
Well, they do. They certainly have. First of all, you find a lot of reds are entrepreneurs. They start companies. And they want the independence of being not micromanaged. They don't want too many rules. They don't want too much hierarchy around. You also find them in specialists within organizations in departments where they're left alone.
Mm-hmm.
They're the troubleshooters of this world. They're the great negotiators. They're the internet developers. They're the real estate developers.
More the people person.
Not people, but moving a situation forward with quick action. They have an ability to look at a problem, immediately figure out where the breakdown is, and then pull in the resources and just fix it right then and there without too much discussion.
And why can't golds do that?
Because golds have to plan things. They have to think about it. They have to go back. They have to create a strategy. They have, you know, there's a different thinking process.
So golds can't run a company alone.
No. They can't. Companies need all the different components. But you do find in certain industries a very heavy percentage of golds. Like you find a heavy percentage in accounting, among dentists, certainly among commercial bankers. If you get into investment banking, for example, you find more blues because deals require a different kind of approach.
Maybe,
you go to the trading floor, you find a lot of reds because that's what that business requires.
Very interesting.
Communication departments are full of greens because they are the ones that can craft a message that really is going to grab the attention of the world.
So, all right. Well, let's talk about blues and greens a little bit too. We haven't, you know, focused as much on, because I was looking at my colors,
mm-hmm.
and I keep seesawing back between being a blue and a green,
mm-hmm.
and I know, and my wife Deborah, she also is, she's more of a green, and I she thinks and I tested to be more of a blue, but I look at green and I go, yeah, that's really me.
Mm-hmm.
So. Now, what?
What's the difference between the two?
When I go back and I look at Myers-Briggs, and I see that the blues and greens are on the intuitive side.
They're both intuitive, but the greens are more on the feeling side, and the blues are more on the thinking side. So blues tend to be more theoretical and future-driven, and there is a fairly strong element of competition in the blue. And the greens are typically humanistic, empathetic, creative, and they really tend to not be as competitive. So an example of a green would be Oprah and Bono. Examples of blue would be Hillary Clinton and Bill Gates.
Well, I see you also list President Obama as a green.
I do. President Obama is a green, yes. He's a wonderful communicator.
Uh-huh. And he exhibits a lot of feeling.
He does. And particularly when you see him, how focused he is on his family and his small children and his dog. I mean, these are very very green kind of characteristics.
Uh-huh. So what we were looking at with the blue-green is compared to Myers-Briggs, they're on the intuitive side, and then the gold and red are on the sensing.
On the sensing side, which means that they're more concrete thinkers. There's two different sides of the brain. There's concrete and abstract. And the concrete thinkers are the golds and reds. And the abstract sides are the blues and greens. And by the way, that's the one dimension that does not fall very equally. The concrete thinkers are 70% of the population, and the abstract only 30%. And again, that's what nature needs to keep the world running.
Sure. And it's we need to really be able to embrace the opposites and honor that, and I think,
yes,
you know, this is a good method to help us understand not only what we might see as the weaknesses in others because they're not like us versus their strengths that we can use well.
That's correct. And we have found that close friends tend to be very similar, that spouses tend to be different, and that effective work groups have all the different types represented.
Well, yeah, I guess spouses complement each other. Although my wife and I are both kind of in the blue-green category and in the intuitive part, and our certainly our older son is I think, more in the left brain,
mm-hmm.
the sensing part. He's in law school, and he thinks of himself as very objective,
mm-hmm.
and
that would be more the blue component, yeah.
Right. Well, and he could be a blue, not necessarily a gold or a red. But what's nice also in family, it's great for families to do this.
It's a lot of fun for families, yes.
Colors and find out about each other and laugh about it.
Yes, enough to. Every seminar I get calls from people and saying, you know, I went home and my spouse and my kids and my in-laws and da-da-da-da-da. People take great delight in doing that.
And it doesn't take long to do a test.
No, it's like 7 minutes. That's the beauty of it.
Well, yeah, 7 minutes, and you get it. And it's easy to score because it's not too many questions.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so I we did it. My wife and I did it,
mm-hmm.
and certainly appreciate it.
And may I mention that the test is in my book, Career Match.
Oh, good.
Yes, and it just won a Mensa Award about 2 weeks ago.
That means it's a very smart book.
It said that it's one of the best self-testing books around.
Oh, good. Good. Well, I think it's great for companies to be using this, especially, as you say, you know, time is important, and people can do this test very quickly and learn about themselves and each other and get back to business.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's something that every HR department should be acquiring your books. They probably already have them, a lot of them.
Yes, and also that there are seminars where all the materials are then given and people take it right on the spot. And I've been working with a lot of companies in the financial services industry, and we'll be at the U.S. Treasury next week.
Wow. Thank God. I'm glad you're going to be there. Well, wherever you go, I'm sure you bring a great gift of this. And, you know, it's important for people to appreciate each other so easily. I mean, I want to come back to the fact that this is so easily digested.
Mm-hmm.
And although I you know, I did have trouble identifying myself between a blue and a green, and maybe you can help on that, because I am an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between the blue and green is whether you're a thinking or a feeling person.
But the backup also then changes the nature of that blue. So a blue gold would be very different from a blue red, which is what you are. A blue red, it tends to be a softer, more accommodating, because they're more interested in questioning as opposed to coming in with the decisions, you know.
Right.
And it makes for a different kind of personality on the surface. But I also think that given your interest in other areas such as the intuitive field, you know, that would also bring out other aspects of your, you know, of your brain, if you will.
Okay. So what we're saying is that I could be a blue instead of a green because of the red sitting behind it.
Well, it makes for a different, a softer kind of blue, so more of an inquisitive, and you find a lot of blue-reds in research, for example, uh-huh. and a psychiatrist, you know.
Uh-huh. And, yeah, and certainly I do a lot of counseling work.
Yeah, and I never see a blue-gold in psychiatry, rarely, because they just want to, you know, come to the conclusion by the end of the session, forget about, you know, the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and but also because of this being a red, as you said, I can live with a messy desk.
Yes.
Even though
And ambiguity. You know, reds mm-hmm. can live with ambiguity, and they're very comfortable with it, so...
Interesting. And golds can't.
They golds cannot. They go nuts, yeah.
All right. So if a blue, you know, you can, but you can be a blue gold.
You can be a blue gold, yes. Absolutely. That's what Hillary Clinton is.
Uh-huh.
And she has actually taken the test, and she sent me a thank you note telling me how accurate the profile was.
Oh, good. Good. Did she say anything about Bill?
Well, she didn't, but we kind of figured Bill to be a red, you know.
Okay. I would think so.
Yes, I don't think so.
I don't think of him as a gold.
He's a green back... He's a gold... I'm sorry, he's a red backup green. Yeah, that's what he is.
That makes a lot of sense.
And that's why they have such a powerful intellectual connection. Because uh-huh. they really do bring different gifts to the relationship.
Yeah. And so he's more of the feeler?
He's much more people-connected. And if you ever meet Bill, you can see that chemistry come through right away. And he's very much into the moment. He changes his mind. I mean, the joke was when he was in the White House is you could never get an appointment more than half an hour before it took place because the radar kept changing.
Oh, good. And so tell me, anyone else that you've deciphered in through both colors?
Yes, Sotomayor, Judge Sotomayor,
mm-hmm.
is a gold. She also took the test. She's a gold backup blue.
Uh huh. That makes sense. You want somebody, one second. I guess somebody who has to deal with that much law needs to have a lot of clarity.
Well, yes, but you can have lawyers in all different colors. But Sotomayor is so interesting because she just made this decision at the age of 10 watching Perry Mason, you know? That's a gold.
Oh, okay.
And then first she wanted to be Perry Mason, and then she found out she had diabetes. And so she said, well, you know, every time he needs to do something, he has to turn and ask the judge. So I want to be a judge.
Good. Who else were you going to talk about?
Diane Sawyer. And Diane Sawyer was also my book has taken a test, and she's a green-red. Now, of course, that fits in with her. And when I asked Diane, what's your definition of power, she didn't say, I want to run 10,000 people around the world. She said to me, power to me is when I want to say is what the world wants to hear.
Uh-huh. Connecting.
So it's connecting and the power of influence, the ability to influence people, which is very important for greens.
Uh-huh. And so greens are better in people businesses.
Well, they're much more interested in what makes people tick, and they're very powerful communicators, some of them in writing, some of them through the graphic arts, some of them in speaking. Most of your anchors, many of your anchors are greens. And they're very interested in empowering people to move and to improve themselves.
Now, you see, that's why I thought I was a green.
Yeah.
But then again, if I'm a blue-red,
mm-hmm.
reds can be empowering.
They're
too.
Empowering in a more intellectual fashion.
Okay.
They
that,
want to change people's thinking. Greens want to change the way people feel about things and the actions that they take.
That's interesting. Then how you would accommodate that are two different strategies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to have people actually doing both.
Yes, and when you speak to them, you use a different type of vocabulary in order to get your point across and get them to buy into it.
Well, see, that's why your book would be very important. I'm sure that you have all of these conversations in the book.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
and we have a lot of things in the book. We have how your style affects your work-related strengths, your ideal work environment, the way you approach money and salary negotiations, over 40 suitable careers, your entrepreneurial style, your leadership and team style.
Let's come back to money, okay?
Yes.
I would love to hear from you how golds, reds, blues, and greens each deal with money or look at money, feel about it, what's their objective with it.
Okay. Well, the key component in money really is the blue-green dimension, and particularly in salary negotiation. And the difference is that the blue dimension does not get concerned about having a conflict with a person that you're interviewing or who's reviewing your salary at the end of the year. They say, this is what I'm worth. I have researched this, and I know that companies try to lowball you, so therefore I'm going to keep pushing that negotiating envelope. When a green is being reviewed or they're being offered a job and they have established a rapport with that other individual, they don't want to do anything that undermines that rapport. So they're less likely to go in and challenge the offer that's made.
Uh-huh.
This is one of the reasons, by the way, why women are paid less than men. It has nothing really to do with gender for the most part, at least not in the higher levels in the United States. It has to do with the fact that women, there are more, 65% of women have a green component, and therefore they will not push that envelope as far as a blue will. Whereas women that have a blue component will push it very happily and not think twice about it.
So if you're an entertainer or an athlete and you need a good manager, a business manager,
yes,
to negotiate your contracts, give them this test because you don't want them to be a green.
No, you don't want them to be a green no matter how much you like them, or at least not. They shouldn't be the ones that are negotiating the money. Maybe somebody else on their staff will, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so I always say to people, if you're a green, whether you're a man or a woman, you've got to make sure that you do a dress rehearsal before the session itself and do it with a very tough person and role play things. And then it'll come out of your mouth more easily. Now, going beyond the salary negotiation, there's a question about who really saves and who doesn't.
Good.
And the golds tend to be the savers of this world. Anybody either primary or backup, and the reds tend to be the ones who, tomorrow's another day, and you know what? I've always made money when I needed it.
Very interesting.
Yeah. They're less, but the reds can make a lot of money because they have a good, you know, very smart, savvy entrepreneurs, and they're very much higher risk takers in the stock market, so they'll take risks in the markets that the golds won't.
I think you're describing each of my two boys.
Yeah.
My older son is probably more of the gold, and my younger son is more of the red. And it's so interesting to, you know, I guess we can all look at this in our families and identify each person's color in terms of the way they manage money.
Yes, we can. Again, recognizing the money is fairly complicated because it's also something that's so important in society. You have to have it. So there are other things that come in that overlay it, and also how you were brought up and how much money you had and how stressed your parents were about it also influence it. But at the bottom, there are these differences, which actually were also presented in the book that was written a couple of years ago called The Wealth Equation by Peter Tanis. They're outlined in there.
Uh-huh. And so do you think that this is more Birth-driven or conditioned-driven?
No, it's very, very much birth-driven. It's a cradle-to-grave situation. You are born with your style, and you will pass with it. But as you get older, typically I find after the age of 40, people begin to want to develop the other sides of their brain. And Jung said that this was a very positive thing to do. So you find them experimenting typically in volunteer or leisure activities.
So there's not as much risk.
Yeah. The key, I would say, and I want to leave this with our audience, that it has been shown, the research is very compelling, identifying your unique gifts and putting them to work is one of the top three components of happiness. So the first step is to define what you're really good at, and the color cue system can really help you to do that. First, define what your strengths are, and then look around and see, where can I put these to work? And at that point, you'll find that there's a range of things you could be doing, but a couple of them will start to get you excited. And this is where the passion piece comes in.
That's great. What is that?
Now, that is whatever gets you excited. Let's say you say, you make a decision, I'm a blue. Here are some of the areas where blues do very well. They're great architects, they do medical research, they're great in the computer world, they're some of the leading programmers, da-da-da-da-da. There are a bunch of things that will come up. But then at the end, you turn around and say, okay, which of all of these areas generates a feeling of excitement in me? And it won't be all of those. It'll be just a couple of those, maybe one. And then that's the one that's going to show you where your passion is. So that's a two-step process. First, define your gifts, see the areas where these are best used and where people of your style have found a high level of satisfaction, and then find which of them is most closely related to your special interests. And those special interests are very much also driven by nature, but by a different source typically, and also by your life experiences.
Which color is more interested in this system?
The greens. The greens just fall in love with it immediately. The blues like it because they say, here's a new model that I can dissect and figure out everything is wrong with it.
Uh-huh.
The golds, I find it fascinating once they've sat in a seminar and seen that it actually works and that they can put it to use immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And then the reds are the ones that are the hardest to hold, to capture. But if they're having fun in the session, and if they figure that it can help them with their negotiation, for example, then they'll take an interest. So there's different motivations.
Right, I can see that. They want to figure everyone out so they can deal with them better.
Yes, exactly.
So everyone can be happy with this.
Everyone can be happy for different reasons, correct.
Now, I want to look at one other... Whoops. Okay, I was going to talk about the introversion and extroversion aspect of this, but that's fairly understandable. Shoya Nitchy, I want to thank you so much for being a guest.
I'm sorry, Peter, it's Zichy.
Zichy.
Z-I-C-H-Y.
I just put the Z on the side because I know you well as Shoya, and your last name I'm not used to.
Yeah.
Zichy, Z-I-C-H-Y, and thank you. It's so great to talk with you, and I really appreciate it. And how can people reach you?
And there's a website called Color Cue Personalities, and personalities in the plural with an S at the end, .com. And that'll have articles and resources and a summary of the four styles and books, etc.
ColorQPersonalities.com.
Personalities in the plural, exactly.
Shoya, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter. Great to talk to you.
Yep, same here. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at Progressive Radio Network, and I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. And thank you so much for listening today.